Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. We have an interesting story from footballarchaeology.com's Timothy P. Brown today of the Richmond Tigers football team and a very famous NFL person that played under a pseudonym. We have more coming up from Tim in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history, and welcome to another evening where we get to visit with our friend Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com and talk about one of his recent tidbits. Tim, welcome back to the Pig Pen.
Hey, Darren. Look forward to chatting this evening. There are sometimes you don't know where I'm coming from in my little opening statements, but this time you bank on a really good pun.
Yeah, and I think I get where you're coming from. It's almost like getting a tiger by the tail here. But we got a great.
Okay, we're done.
Yeah, we are. That's it, folks. Thanks for joining us tonight. No, we have a great story tonight that Tim's going to share with us that he wrote in one of his most recent tidbits, and it was titled "The Richmond Tigers, the Eubanks, and a Mystery Ringer." Tim, what can you tell us about this tale?
Well, so this one, some of my tales start by, I see something on eBay, and so I try to do a little bit of research, try to see if I can figure out what it is, and this is one of those where they were offering, they offered one letter that showed, it was from the Richmond Tigers. They were a semi-pro/pro team in Richmond, Indiana, in the 1920s, and when I got it, it actually had two letters, but anyways, it was, basically it was a letter from the manager of the team to another team, basically inviting them to play a game and send us your guarantee and we'll come and play you on a given, Sunday afternoon. So it's basically their, scheduling letter. And so just in looking at it, it was, I'd never heard of the Richmond Tigers before, but I'm not, a real aficionado of those kinds of teams. Mm-hmm. And so, but, I was looking at it and I saw that the manager's name was like VC Eubank. So I was like, oh, Eubank. I wonder, and this is Richmond, Indiana. So I did a quick, found the Wikipedia entry for Weeb Eubank. And sure enough, he was from Richmond, Indiana. So then it's like, okay, is this a cousin? Is this his dad? Is it, so I'm doing a bunch of research and eventually I figure out, I was able to show, that VC was like Vern Clare, I think it was. And that his younger brother was a guy named Weeb, who that wasn't his real name. The next younger brother couldn't pronounce Wilbur. All he could come up with was Weeb. And so then he picked up the name Weeb. So Anyways, they grew up in this town, both athletes, both, very active at the high school level, etc. And the older brother kind of goes down the, it was a big, it was the center of a lot of like lawn mowing, lawnmower equipment. So, a lot of kind of a factory town. And so he ends up going down the machinist route, and whereas Wilbur Weeb, he goes to Miamiville, Ohio, which is like 20 miles away across the Ohio border. So kind of mid-state, from a north-south standpoint. And so anyways, he's playing there, and all the while that then this his older brother starts up this semi-pro team. And so, kind of as I dug into the story, the story of the team, there was reference to this guy, Shorty Thomas, who was the star quarterback. And the coach listed on the letterhead is a guy named, not Boris, whatever, I can't, Bruno Thomas. So I was like, and so I'm Googling, trying to, and using Ancestry and all kinds of stuff, trying to find Bruno Thomas. Well, there's no Bruno Thomas anywhere to be found. And there was a Shorty Thomas who was more of a golfer and was, basically grew up in the same time in town. So it turns out that all the time that Eubank played football at Miami, he would play for them on Saturday. And then he'd go and play semi-pro with his brother's team on Sunday, wherever they were playing. And, he'd make a little bit of money. And, so it's just one of those deals where, he was the ringer, and they tried to hide it. And yet, even the newspaper guys from that town, there were one or two newspapers there, they clearly had seen these guys time and time again, playing in high school. And now they know Weeb's playing at Miami, but oh yeah, here he is, being Mr. Thomas, on Sunday for this semi-pro team.
So was we Bruno or was he Shorty, or were they the same?
I think it's the same guy. I mean, that's one of the little mysteries of it. I think so. He clearly is discussed as being Shorty Thomas by like opposing team newspapers.
Okay.
Fairly regularly, because he was a star, at that level. But I can't find any Bruno Thomas. So I think Bruno was supposed to be like just their way of
the formal name of the Thomas character.
Yeah. Shorty's real fake name. So anyways, and like, I guess I should have maybe said something at the beginning, but, Weeb Eubank, for anybody who isn't familiar with him, I mean, he was, he ended up becoming like a companion, friend, co-worker with Paul Brown. So he was, worked with Paul Brown at Great Lakes Naval Station, then with the Cleveland Browns, beginning in like late, early 50s. And then he ends up becoming the NFL, or the Baltimore Colts head coach. So he's their head coach when they win the greatest game ever played in 58. And then when they win the 59 championship, gets fired couple of years later and takes over the Jets. And then he's the coach when, Joe Namath and the Jets, beat the Colts in the 69 or in the third Super Bowl. So anyways, I mean, while maybe he's somewhat forgotten in the football community, he won two NFL championships plus the Super Bowl. Or, in a separate.
And the Browns were in like three other championship games or four other championship games that they lost that he was the assistant coach on. So he had quite a bit of NFL championship experience before Super Bowl III.
Yeah. So, he's, kind of an interesting guy. And, it's kind of fun, for me, because that's the kind of item I don't normally collect, that kind of thing. But, I got it for like next to nothing, and it just turned out to be kind of a fun story. Now, it does have a bit of a tragic end too, because the older brother, apparently was out drinking with some friends one night, you know, mixed group men and women, and one of the other guys, you know, either punched or slapped a woman. He intervened, and then they got into a fight a little bit later again, and you know, in the fight, he ends up, you know, getting some kind of, you know, brain clot or whatever, and he dies, you know, basically on the spot. So as a 33-year-old, you know, he suffered a brain injury and died. So I just, it was an interesting thing just because like now, and maybe it's just journalism that's different today, but now if somebody underwent an experience like that, had a, you know, brother pass, you know, tragically, you'd expect that to be like in profiles when they're, you know, doing background stories and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't find anything, you know, about the story, you know, in terms of profiles of Eubank when he's coaching and et cetera. So anyway, it's just kind of an interesting situation.
Yeah, that's I mean, it's an amazing story how you became associated with the story just by a random purchase of something you're normally not interested in, but then how it unfolds into this famous family of football, you know, icons here, especially Weeb, and really makes it that much more interesting. It's interesting by itself, but then you put that effect of the celebrity status of Weeb Eubank. That's tremendous. So, yeah, great job on
that.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the funny things, too, is like I only have a couple of items that are like autographed kind of. I just don't, that stuff normally doesn't, just doesn't interest me, right? So, but one of the other things I do have is a letter written by Weeb Eubank when he was, you know, on the staff at Great Lakes, and he's about ready to leave. And he's going to go coach at Brown, you know, that fall. So anyways, like, it's just odd, also odd that of the two things in that category that I have, or of the several things that I have, two of them are Weeb Eubank, you know, related. So anyways, just, and who knows how many pieces of letterhead there are sitting out there from the Richmond Tigers, right?
Yeah.
Probably not too many.
Yeah, not too many at all. But all the other famous teams he's on, I mean, you just named some of the iconic teams in history, you know, Great Lakes and the Cleveland Browns of the 50s and probably the late 40s too when they were AAFC, I'm sure. They won four straight championships in that league. You know, the Colts and then the Jets, you know, that's some pretty legendary teams there. So he's pretty influential in football and probably is one of the reasons why those teams did make it that far. I'm sure Paul Brown had something to do with the Browns teams too, but you know, Weeb was no slouch and very tremendous, great football mind he had as a strategist.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah. So great story. And you come up with these brilliant little pieces of football history that really not many people know about, or if anybody, other than maybe the Eubanks family, maybe some of them don't even know. And you do it by your really astute research and your keen eye for items like this collectible or newspaper articles, and you share them with us in the football family of you know, with your tidbits. Maybe you could tell folks how they could partake in your tidbits.
Just go to footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack site. So put in your email, you subscribe, and then every time that I issue a new story, you'll get an email with the story in your inbox. If you don't want emails, you can follow me or subscribe on Substack. Just don't get the email notifications and, you know, just read it, you know, on your own. You can also just bookmark it or, you know, follow me on Blue Sky. Because every time I post a new story, then I put it on Blue Sky as well. So that's the way to do it.
All right. Well, Tim, we really appreciate you sharing this story with us and sharing with us each and every Tuesday. And we'd love to talk to you again next week.
I think we'll find time. Thanks, son.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.